Hallelujah. So this month is we're talking about Thanksgiving. And Paul said in this Thessalonica, Church's Thessalonica, he said, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will concerning you. Yeah. Right? People say, I don't know what God's will is. Well, I know one thing it is, give thanks. Give thanks. And I love that old song that we used to sing, that give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And it goes on. But and I, one of these Wednesdays, I'm just going to sing the whole message. I think I could do that. Renita says she lives in a musical, so might as well just make it happen. But I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And I want to just say it this way. I want to say that faith's response is simply thanks. Let me say that one more time. Faith's response, or the response of your faith toward God, is just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I grew up in the Lord and went to Rhema Bible Training Center. It's Rhema Bible Training College now, but so it was really the word of faith and believing God and trusting God. And that so much did so much for us. So many churches were started with a conquering belief of faith. But there was something about, even in my walk, it's like, I gotta have faith. I gotta do it. 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 I gotta faith, faith, faith. And you gotta have this principle and that principle and go down this road. And so it really, and it's not this way for everybody, but for me, it was like, I almost got a, okay, God, I want to believe you. 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 And I've got to do something in order to believe you. And the reality is, He's done everything. So faith is really, all faith is saying, I believe you. If you said it, if you did it, and it's true for me, I believe it. So I don't have to do anything, but my response should be thank you. Right? Thank you. So let's look at a few verses. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to start out in verse 4. It says, you have been estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. What the apostle, he's dealing with the church at Galatia. He's dealing with a group of people that came in and they said, listen, yeah, you got saved and you made Jesus the Lord of your life, but that's not enough. And what they were saying to them, and I've had people in the modern day kind of come back to the same thing. They said, yeah, you've accepted Jesus and He's your Lord and everything, but you need to keep the law. If you really want to be holy, then you got to get back under the law. And so you need to be circumcised. You need to do this and you need to do that. And all the things that the law delineated that you needed to do in order to be holy. But you see, that countermands everything that Jesus did. Because Jesus paid the price. He fulfilled the law. It doesn't mean that the law is bad. It doesn't mean that there aren't good principles in the law. But if you're trying to, by your effort, keep the law, you're in trouble. As he said in another place, he said, if you're trying to keep the law and you're trying to be justified by that action, if you break one of the law, one piece of the law, then you're guilty of the whole thing. I don't know about you. I try to live right. I try to live holy. I try to be right with God. But there's times when I don't. Right? And if it's almost like, uh-oh, got to go back. do everything all over again. And what you're really saying is, Jesus, I blew it again. I need you to get off of the throne, get back up on the cross, and do this whole thing again. But the whole point, and the point of Galatians, is that you cannot, and in Romans it says the same thing, that faith is believing that Jesus paid the price for you to be justified with God. In other words, if he took all of my sin, and he was the sin sacrifice, or my substitute, then what he did, he accomplished, and it's finished. And in the last part of this verse, it says, faith working through love. He said, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision avails anything. What does that mean? You want to be circumcised? Go ahead. But if you're not circumcised, that doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is Jesus. But not just Jesus, Christ Jesus. Why is that important? Because Jesus described who he, you know, his name, his identity. But Christ is the title of what he stood for and what he accomplished. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the sacrificial lamb. He is all that. So nothing that you do, whether it's good or whether it's bad or whether it's religious or it's not religious, right? It doesn't avail anything. It's not a determining factor on whether you're right with God. The only thing that determines whether you're right with God is your relationship with Jesus. Are you in Jesus or outside of Jesus? If you're outside of Jesus, the Bible says that you're uncircumcised in your heart. And what that means is that you have not been brought into his kingdom. But if Jesus is your Lord, you're circumcised, and he did a circumcised in your heart, but it's by faith. But I love this. Faith working through love. And what I want to point out tonight is, when you begin to understand how much that God really loves you, then faith is just a natural response. In other words, if you really know that you know that you know that I'm loved by God, then faith is just a response, and you know, you begin to know the character of God, the heart of God, and it makes all the difference in you. So all that you can do at the end of the day is say, God, I can't do enough to repay you. So all I can do is say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And so when we're talking about faith, and I believe the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. But look at what he goes on to say. This is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of those who accept his love. Those who accept his love. And those who are walking in his love, and those that are walking with him. Now watch, this is really important. Faith works by love. I've been taught, and it has an application, but if your love walk isn't right, then your faith is not going to be operating. But in the context of the scriptures that we read and read around this, I believe it's saying more than this, like this. When you really understand the totality of God's love, then faith is just a natural response. Right? Just a natural response. And think about that from a natural standpoint. And it's interesting to me that he's called our Father God, right? Our Father who art in heaven, right? Our Father. But that's an interesting statement to me because of this. He has called me, because I have children, he's called me a father. That's a pretty heavy responsibility, in my opinion. Because the way I handle and portray myself to my children might frame their viewpoint of God. And many times that's exactly what's happened, and that's exactly why there are some people who cannot, absolutely cannot receive the love of God, because they equate it to a father and their relationship with their father was not great. So faith works by love, but I want to just cue in for a few minutes on the love of God and what that looks like. Because you and I, most of our love that we have has strings attached. What does that mean? I love you, but don't make me mad. Right? I love you until this happens. I love you until that happens. Or I love you as long as you're nice to me. But the kind of love that God has is not an action that he does, but it's who he is. He is love. But the type of love that he has is totally accepting, totally encompassing, totally given out without any strings attached. So think about this. God didn't have to send Jesus to die for our sins. But love compelled them to. And if you think about this too, his love was set forth for you before you did anything right or wrong. And again, this is mind-blowing, but God knows the beginning from the end because he's an eternal being. So he knew what decisions we were going to make, when we're going to make them, and throughout our whole life, right? But before the foundation of the world, he had the plan for you to be saved through Jesus. But that was his love that was given to you. His love. His love. His love looks like this. I love you, period. I love you, period. Yeah, but you don't know what I do. You don't know how I think I do. You don't know what a rascal I've been. Yes, I do. But my love has nothing to do with any of that. Because my love is not about you. It's about me. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, it says that perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. See, fear is the opposite of faith. And when you get an understanding of that God loves me, and out of that love, all of his promises are true. And his promises are true to me not because I do anything right, it's because he did everything right. Come on, that's so good. Perfect love casts out fear. And if I can get you to understand that God loves you, then your faith will just say thank you for the promise. Yep. Just thank you for the promise. Yeah. For instance, watch this. I've told this story before, but I was going to school and the verse of scripture that came up that said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Come on. Josh, quit disrupting the service. How much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who love him? And I was thinking about my dad today. I had a dad who was not perfect, but he was a good dad. He was a good dad. And when those verses started flooding into me, I just started thinking about my dad. And I thought about, and again, the pictures, this was back in the 50s and 60s. And I can remember dad, he worked outside and he worked in Seattle and he put gas lines into houses. So there was ditch digging and all of that stuff going on. So like on a day like today, pouring down rain, dad is say, well, you know, I think I'll skip today. Every morning at 6 o'clock, he was up. He got dressed and went to work. And then at this time of year, he left in the dark and came home in the dark. Every day, day after day after day after day. And I can remember, this is so vivid to me. I can remember, you know, he always wore t-shirts But he wore the t-shirts until they were wore out. In other words, there might be a hole or two in them, but he still wore them. And why did he have holy t-shirts? Well, he was a welder for one thing. But the other thing was, is that he knew that I wanted to play soccer, and so did my other brothers and sisters. And so he gave up of himself so that I could have what I needed. And just think about it. If he, being evil, because he wasn't perfect, would sacrifice that much to give me soccer shoes, how much more will my Heavenly Father, who is totally love, who is perfect, who is absolute, complete love, give me the things that he said he'd give me? So my response to that is, Lord, I believe you. And all I can say is thank you. You said that you'd give him perfect peace whose mind has stayed on you. So, but it's not the love, it's not you're keeping your mind on him of somebody who isn't exactly what God portrays in his word. What I'm saying by that is, if you have an idea of a father who's got this hand that if you get out of line, he's going to whack you upside the head, right? Or if you're not perfect, if you don't do everything right, he's going to bring fire down on you, then your response to that is going to be fear and not love. And that type of love will bring torment. You'll never be good enough. You'll never be able to be right with God. You'll never be able to be a candidate for the promises of God. So therefore, your faith can't operate the way God wants it to. Here's what God wants to say. Bruce, I love you. Thanks, Lord. And out of my love, I'm going to supply all your needs. Yeah, but God, what do I need to do? I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to do that. I need to get this job. I need to do... Bruce. Stop it. Back up. Bruce, I love you, and I'm going to supply all your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ. Yeah, but now I've got to do this, and I've got to fast enough, and if I haven't prayed enough, and especially if I haven't read through the year, the Bible in a year, if I haven't done any of those things, then God, I'm... Bruce. Let me have your attention for just a moment. I love you, and I said I'd supply all your needs according. Yeah, but no buts. Thanks, Dad. See, faith's response is thank you. Thank you. Now, I'm not saying he's not a holy God. I'm not saying that we shouldn't live right. I'm not saying that we shouldn't, you know, the Bible even talks about he loves us so much, he'll give us a spanking every once in a while. But watch this. When he corrects us, it's always for our good, not for his inconvenience. As a human father, sometimes that's not always the case. You know, when your kids are acting up and you're tired, you know, there are times where I'm convinced of this in most Christians' home, timeouts for kids are not for the kids. It's for the parents. So the parents can collect themselves so they act appropriately and don't do something they shouldn't do. Right? Right? But watch this. God never needs a timeout, because he's totally love. So when he's correcting you, it's because he wants your life to be better. He wants to discipline you to a different place so that your life will be better. He wants to get you to the place where you are cooperating with the laws that are in the Word of God so that your life will be better. Are you with me? Faith works by love. Faith responds, is a response to the love of God that God has given you. Amen? Go with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. See, I think when you come to the place where you're saturated in the knowledge of the love of God, it changes everything. And that's why Paul, when he was talking to the church at Ephesus, he said, listen, I want you to know, I want you to be strengthened with might in the inner man, rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, so that you might know what's the width, what's the depth, what's the height, what's the length, I want you to know the love of God, which passes your noodle. I want you to know, because when you think you know it, he'll show you more. You can never, ever, 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 ever in your heart get a picture too big of how much God loves you. And yet most of us run our whole lives, our Christian lives, with our view of how much God loves us about this size. Why? Because we're looking at the lens of us rather than the lens of him. He said again in Ephesians chapter 3, I want you to have your heart enlarged, that you might be strengthened with might in your inner man. What does that mean? God is going to reveal his love to you, not from the outside, but from the inside out. And that's the Holy Spirit's job. It's what he's doing with you and for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Romans chapter 4. And let's start in verse 13. It says, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abram or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness that is of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith would be void and the promise made of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. What he's saying is the law was put into effect to show us and confirm our absolute need for his mercy and grace, because our actions could never obtain a right standing with God. I could never go to God, the Father, up in heaven and say, I'm here and I deserve it. Right? I'm here, bless God, I'm the best one there's ever been. I mean, you want to know somebody that's followed the law and I've just done everything perfect. Here I am. And I deserve to be here. You see, that's entitlement based on a wrong sense of truth. And if you just look around and you see so many people who live an entitled life, their entitled life is determined by what they think that they're owed. Hello? You know what God owes you? Nothing. Nothing. But he doesn't give to you out of what he owes you, because if he did, that would be a debt that you were supposed to be paid. But he doesn't do that. He gives to you because he wants to. It'd be like somebody coming up to you and saying, you know, just like your smile, here's $1,000. $1,000, and you go, oh no, I couldn't do that. Well, no, here, I want to give you $1,000. Well, what do you want me to do for it? I'll come out and mow your lawn. I'll come out and wash your car. I'll come out and cut some trees. I don't want anything. I just want to give you $1,000 because I can, and here you go. Yeah, but. If you're smart, you just shut up and say, thank you. Thank you. But here's what happens sometimes is you find a person and you're able to bless them with that. And they get this mindset that, hey, you know, if I need $1,000, I'm just going to go up to Bruce and hang around him a little bit and say, you know, boy, my car's broken down. I don't have this and I don't have that, because he gave me $1,000 before. And maybe if I manipulate him or see, or maybe, you know, he's rich anyway. So he should just give it to me. But yet that's how people act. Left to ourselves, that's how we act. But watch this. If we get to the place where we just go, man, I like hanging with Bruce. Whether he gave me $1,000 or not. And I'm just so appreciative that his heart is for me. He loves me, encourages me. He does what's right for me. I just love that. And if he gave me something, I just say thank you. Because I didn't earn it, but he gave it to me. You see, God wants us to understand that everything that Jesus produced for us through his death, burial, and resurrection is an outcry of the love that he has for us. Right? And we can't do anything to earn it. But our faith should say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Go down to verse 19. Romans chapter 4 and verse 19. It says, and not being weak, it's talking about Abraham here. It says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver in the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. You see, faith is always a response of what God is able to do, not in your lack of ability to bring it to pass. What do I mean? I mean this. God, if you promised me peace, then I don't have to work at getting peace. I just have to accept the peace. If you really said that you'd never leave me nor forsake me, all I can say is thank you. If your word says, and it's true and it's for me because you love me, and I know that you love me, that as David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. My days of begging for bread are over. Because he loves me. I know he loves me. And if he loves me, his word is for me. Not because I prayed enough, not because I'm good enough, not because I do enough, but because he is who he is. And when you begin to look at the promises of God like that, it's like, Lord, you said that? Thank you. Thank you. You said you supply all my needs? Thank you. You said my sins were forgiven? Thank you. You said as far as the east is from the west, you'll remember my sins no more? Thank you. You said that there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus? Thank you. Thank you. See, because your faith is not based on you. Oh, it says that, but no. That was when I first got saved. I was okay. But, you know, since I've been saved, I've lied a little bit or a lot of bit. Or I've maybe stolen something or I've gotten angry or I've cussed somebody out. See, what you've just done is you've taken yourself out of the love of God and put yourself into self-condemnation. And if you figure, if I'm condemning myself, God obviously should be condemning me. When he said, based on his love, there is therefore now no, zero, zip, zilch, nada, condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation to me. There's none. But watch this. That doesn't mean that you can walk around like a putz. Well, right? Bless God. God loves me. And so who are you? No, what it should do to us is say, look at the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. My goal is to love somebody else like he loves me. In fact, in 1 John, it says, watch this. It says, if the love of God has been displayed in you and you have faith and knowledge of that love and are operating in that love, it will actually draw people to God through you. But that'll never happen until you have confidence in the fact He loves you because He loves you. Because He loves you. Because He loves you. And His love for you is wider, it's deeper, it's taller than anything that you could ever try to imagine here on the earth. Years ago, and I've told this story before, but it just bears repeating. It blew me away that day. I was going to be the guest speaker at a church. This is years. This is 40 years ago, probably 35. Anyway, long time ago. And I was going to be a guest speaker at a church, and I felt like the Spirit of God wanted me to speak on the love of the Father. And I thought, that's great. I'll do that. And got scriptures together and had an outline and went through it. And thinking about it, I thought, you know, this will bless a few people. And so I started talking about that God loves you as His Father. And I started talking about a father and what a father, a true father is, and a father, how he should act and how he should operate. And I said, I want all of those who didn't have this example, or maybe had a childhood that the father was just absent or gone, or maybe he was abusive, whatever. I just want you to come because I want to pray over you and break that over you, because God wants to pour His love into you. But because of your abuse and because of somebody else's neglect or whatever, you've never been able to receive love as a father. The whole front of that church was filled with people. And from kids 5 and 6 years old up to ladies in their 60s and 70s. I was blown away. I was blown away. And I prayed over them. And then about 3 months later, I was at another church, just at a meeting. And this lady came running up to me. Hey, you remember me? You remember me? And I did. And she was in that meeting. She was part of that church. She said, "Your message changed my life." I could not call or pray to the Father. When I prayed, it was to Jesus or to God or, you know, to the Holy Spirit. But I could never call Him Father because of what I went through as a child. But you see, the love of God broke through to her and showed her the love of the Father. And it changed everything. Right? So she became Daddy's little girl. Daddy's little girl. Yeah. The girl on the front row right here, she's Daddy's little girl. And she knows it. And there's times, let me just tell you this, because I'm trying to paint a picture inside of you that you can begin to, God, you said that. And you said that out of love. And you love me enough that that's part of that. That's why I'm so, all I can do is say, thank you. We were at men's group. This was years ago. We were at men's group, and Donnie was, I think she was living on the East Coast or wherever they were at. But she was coming home for a visit. And I was going to pick her up. I think we had men's meeting on Monday. I think it was Tuesday she was coming in. And I said, I guarantee you, and I talked to the men, I guarantee you, this is going to happen. I said, somewhere in the first 24 hours, I'll be sitting on the couch and she'll come sit on the couch next to me and put her head on my shoulder. I picked her up at the airport, and we didn't get past Federal Way on the way home before she leaned over in the car and buried her head into my shoulder. Why? Because she knows I love her. She knows I'd do anything for her. That I would lay my life down for her. Well, if I, being evil, know how to give good gifts to my daughter, how much more? His love is for you. See, and when you get a grasp of that, and you come across a promise of God, you don't come, oh, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, I've got to. You know what Donnie has to do to get me to love her? Zip. There have been times I haven't been happy with her in her life. Right? But I've never been out of love with her. She could do nothing that would cause me not to be there for her, to put her head on my shoulder. That's God. That's God for you. Tonight, that's God for you. So when he said he'd meet your needs, quit trying to figure it out. When he said, by his stripes you're healed, don't try to figure it out. When he said, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, don't try to figure it out. Just say, God, you love me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Are you getting anything tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Watch this. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. And these are really familiar scripture. But based on what I've said tonight, I want to read this in a little different light. So Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to start out in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, God, listen to this, God, your Father, who is rich in mercy. You know how we look at money and we're trying to get enough money to pay off and this and this. And if we go buy a car or even go grocery shopping, we base our decisions on money. You know, there are people in the world that they don't even consider money. They have so much of it, it's not even a consideration. It's like, I want that car. Yeah, but do you know how much? I don't care. I don't care. See, it's a different level, right? I have a brother-in-law who's a contractor, and they were doing a job for a lady, and they were doing this house, and you know, it was a big custom house, and she had this. My brother-in-law's a contractor. My brother is a plumber. They came up there. Her master suite bathroom was probably bigger than any bedroom I've ever had, but just the bathroom, right? And it was situated a certain way, and they had the bathtub in. Everything was, you know, they were starting to go. I said, you know, I think I'd like the bathtub over here instead of over there. Well, you know, we can do that, but I don't care how much it costs. That's what I want. See, it's a different level. It's a different level. God is rich in mercy. He's not going to run out. I like that because I need a lot of it. The Bible says his mercy is new every morning. And he's got a lot of it. And he's got a lot of that for you tonight. He's got a lot of that for you tonight. Who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. His mercy is over us because he loves us. He loves us. Even when we're dead in our trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you've been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. He loves you. It's not based on you. It's based on him. He loves you. Even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, when we're at our worst, he loved us and he sent Jesus to die for us. Isn't that good? That's so good. And I like this verse, that in the ages have come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God's going to show you off for eternity. God's going to show you off in eternity. I've said this before, right? It's like if being a successful parent is having kids that are better than you, Renita and I have been very successful. Very successful. Very successful. Watch, this is so good. And it delights my heart to see them and to talk to people about Michael and about Donnie. Are you listening to me? God is that way about you tonight. God is that way about you. That's so good. Thank you, Lord. We could just park there for a while, and I think it would be great. Hallelujah. Excuse me. All right. And raise verse 8. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. That's such a powerful verse. And you've been saved by grace. What does grace mean? God wanted to, so he did. God gave because he wanted to. An acronym that I love is GRACE is God's riches at Christ's expense. It's unmerited favor. I don't deserve it. Well, who cares whether you deserve it or not? God gave it. So God's grace, you've been saved through faith. Faith is the response of the grace that God gave us. In other words, Lord, really? That's the deal? That's the deal? I receive it. I've had times in my life and walking with the Lord where I didn't necessarily feel as close to God as I should have felt. And you know what I do in those places? I go back to that night when I made him the Lord of my life and he invaded my heart. And I'm telling you, as I'm telling you that, I can see it, I can feel it, I can sense it, I know it. And I go, wait a minute. There's no condemnation. He loved me then, he loves me now. I may be going through some things to get some of the kinks off and all that, but or I might have done some stupid things to cause me to get where I am, but the reality is he loves me. And so my faith is a response to what he's done. My faith isn't what I do to get him to do something. Very important. My faith is a response to what he's done, not my effort to get him to do something. I gotta believe. Wrong. I believe because he loves me. Thank you. I've been saved by the riches of his grace. Thank you, Lord. All right, one story, then we'll quit. Go to Mark chapter 14, Gospel of Mark chapter 14. This is such a beautiful story. And I think that tonight, if I could get you to get into this story and put yourself in the place of this person, all of us succeeded what I wanted to do tonight. Mark chapter 14 and verse 1. After 2 days, it was Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard, and she broke the flask and poured it on his head. And there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted. For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor, and they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For the poor you have with you always, and whenever you wish you may do good, do them good, but me you do not have always. She has done what she could, for she has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." This was a woman who felt worthless, alone, outside of the norm of society. But Jesus came to her, forgave her of her sins, delivered her from demonic oppression. And more than all of that, it's like the woman who was caught in adultery, and she said, "Woman, where are thine accusers?" And she said, "Nowhere." She says, "I don't condemn you either, honey. Just go and sin no more." Think about the love, and think about how that made that person feel. And this woman felt the love of God and the total acceptance that not only delivered her from demonic oppression, but poured love into her so that she felt so worthy. Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus, the one who was prophesied, Jesus, the one that we're waiting for, has loved me. Other men used me. Other men betrayed me. Other men harmed me. But he loved me. And my response to his love, the most valuable thing that I have, I'm bringing, and I'm going to bless him with it. And the most valuable thing that you have is your heart saying, "I believe, Lord, thank you. I believe, Lord, thank you. I believe, Lord, thank you." Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. And Lord, we're so grateful. And sometimes we get so wrapped up in what we're doing or what we're not doing that we forget to just remind ourselves that God so loved the world that he gave Jesus for me. And Jesus, you took my place. You died on the cross for me. If you're watching online or if you're in the room and you just say, "Jesus, thank you. Thank you for loving me. Everything you promised me, you'll do because you love me. And I just want to thank you in advance. Thank you for it, Lord. Nothing can separate me from your love, Lord. I just thank you for it. I just thank you for it. All my troubles, struggles, situations, relationships, Lord, I just put them on the altar right now. You love me, Lord, and I thank you for loving me." If you're watching at home or you're in the, just give your heart, pour yourself back over and say, "Lord, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me."